for our time in God's Word. Just pray for me as we open up God's Word. Jim, would you pray for me? You can pray in Korean if you wish.
I'll try.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, but just say can't do in Korean.
If you want.
Or just like try in English. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for this time getting together and then hear from your saying and then receive your words get in our heart deeply and then have changing our minds and then put our thinking into your words. And hopefully, Mike bring us all with your words and enrich our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 8 is where we're going to be. Before we read the section we're going to be looking at today. All right, quiz. This quiz will get easy as we go on.
Okay.
So, finish it for me. The righteous shall live by?
Faith.
That's right. We walk by? Yes, and not by? We walk by this and not by this. We walk by? Faith, and not by sight. Okay. We're saved by grace through
faith.
Take up the shield of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Resist him, firm in your
faith.
We could go on in the scriptures, right? I mean, faith, faith, faith. Faith. Without faith, we have nothing. Just nothing. We have nothing spiritually without faith. With faith, we have the kingdom of God. That's the way the world works. You have everything with faith. You have nothing without it. Even if without faith, you have the riches of Donald Trump. You still have nothing without faith. Even though you may have everything the world has to offer, but you have nothing as far as God is concerned. Faith opens up the door to the kingdom of heaven because faith opens up our hearts to Jesus Christ. That's what it does. Now, in Matthew 8, I told you last week that Matthew 8 begins a new section in Matthew's gospel. And in chapters 5 through 7, Jesus was preaching a sermon. And all of it, chapters 5 through 7, was just teaching. Chapters 8 and 9 have very little teaching. Mostly what Jesus is doing is acting. He's going to be healing people and casting out demons. And he's going to be doing these kinds of things. And so we're not going to get a lot of teaching, although there's teaching sprinkled in. But we're going to get stories from Jesus' life in Matthew chapter 8 and 9. Today, we're in verses 5 through 13. So I'm just going to read it. So Matthew 8. Verse 5. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I, too, am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. And I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Guys, this is a story about, finish it for me, faith. This is a story about faith. Jesus has an encounter with a Roman centurion. A centurion was a soldier who had a fairly high position. He had a lot of soldiers under him. And so he was a soldier in a high position of authority within the army. That's what a centurion is. In fact, within the official structure of the day, this centurion had higher rank than Jesus within the society. Jesus was just a poor preacher who traveled around from town to town with no official position at all. This centurion had an official position within the army with lots of people under him. But the centurion doesn't really see it that way. Society says the centurion outranks Jesus. And yet, look how the centurion treats Jesus. Verse 6, look what he says to Jesus. What's his first word to Jesus?
Lord.
Lord. Verse 8, what's his first word to Jesus? Yep, verse 8. What's that?
But, that's my Bible.
The first word out of the mouth of the centurion is Lord.
Oh, Lord.
And so, here is a guy who outranks Jesus, who's calling Jesus Lord. And so the centurion is seeing a reality that society doesn't really see in this situation. I mean, would a wealthy man call a poor man Lord? That's not how it works, right? In the world, anyway. But in the kingdom of God, things are different. In the kingdom of God, this centurion sees that Jesus outranks him. Now, how does he see this? By faith. That's how he sees it. I love his heart, the heart of this centurion when he comes to Jesus. This centurion does not pretend to be important. In fact, he says, verse 8, look at verse 8. He says, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof." This centurion sees his sin. He sees it. He also sees the authority of Jesus. And people with real faith are people who see their own sin and who see the authority of Jesus. They are people of the kingdom. It's what Jesus said earlier. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where this centurion is. See, the reality is that you and I are not worthy to have our Lord come under our roof. But he'll come. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. He'll come in your life too. But we're not worthy of it. We're not worthy for the Lord Jesus to enter our lives. This is part of faith. Part of faith is seeing our sin for what it is and not trying to paint nice paint over the cover to make it look pretty. Part of faith is seeing our spiritual poverty before God. I mean, really, what do you have to bring God? He's God. What do you offer God? Anything? If you think you do not yet understand God. Nor do you understand your own sin. Guys, this is why so many people never see Jesus. Because we think we're okay. When in reality, we're full of sin. See, in the kingdom of God, that's called blindness. That's what that's called. We will never be fit for the kingdom of God until we first see that we are not fit for the kingdom of God. Because that is what makes us run to Jesus. See, this soldier comes to Jesus because he's helpless. And he knows it. And he believes Jesus can do something about it. That's why the centurion comes to Jesus in the first place. He has a servant who's paralyzed, and there's nothing he can do about it, and he knows it, but he thinks Jesus can heal him. That's where we have to be with our lives. That is faith. Now, this soldier understands the authority Jesus has. Look at verse 9. He has just said, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. And then he says, for I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. He's a military man. The military teaches you authority. When you are in the military, you learn about authority because the military is an authority organization. And when you are in the military, you are under the authority of somebody. And almost everybody in the military is also over somebody else in authority. And you say to them, go do this, and they go do that. And they do that because of your position. It's because that's why they do that. You're in a position of authority. And so here's a military man coming to Jesus, and he understands when the military man speaks, the soldiers move. And he says, this is authority, I get it. And Jesus, just as I speak and soldiers move, you speak and sickness moves. I get it. You are a man in authority. And you don't need to come to my house. All you have to do is speak and my servant will be well. See, Jesus heals by authority. He has the authority of the kingdom of God behind him. Now, how does the centurion see, how is he able to see the authority of Christ? By faith. That's how he's able to see the authority of Jesus. See, this centurion, he comes to Jesus by faith in the first place. Guys, faith is not, it's not a head game that we play just in our heads. It involves our lives. It involves what we do. It's always mixed with life, faith is. It acts. See, we see the centurion's faith by what he does. That's how we see it. If the centurion had stayed at home and never approached Jesus, but said, "Oh yeah, I believe Jesus can heal my servant," that's not faith. If you believe it, then act on it. See, what we do shows what we believe. Sometimes we say we believe things, but we don't act on them. And I wonder if we really believe what we say we believe, if we won't act on it. It's when he comes to Jesus that we see his faith. Faith acts. Modern term, that means this: faith gets baptized. You don't say, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to get baptized." We have a saying in English: put your money where your mouth is. That's the saying in English. It means basically, if you're going to talk, do it. If you're going to say you have faith, get baptized. But don't go around saying, "I got faith, but I'm not going to get baptized." That's crazy talk. You're not going to act on your faith. That means you probably don't really have faith. Faith gives generously of its income for the kingdom of God. You don't just say, "Oh, I believe," and you don't really do anything to support the kingdom of God. Faith takes the good news of Jesus to your parents and to your friends and to whoever. You don't just say, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus," but Jesus is the one who says to you, "Go to all nations. Make disciples of all nations." So you don't say, "I have faith, but I'm not going to really do what Jesus says." That's not faith. Faith submits to the authority of Jesus. If by faith we see the authority of Christ, we submit to what Christ says. We don't just say, "I believe in Jesus," and then not do what he says. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say?" What he's doing is pointing out hypocrisy in the people. Okay, this is what faith is. So let's kind of review for a moment. Faith is humble. It sees its own sin. It understands that we are broken, sinful people who have nothing to bring to God. Faith understands our need, and it sees the authority of Christ. Faith comes to Jesus. Faith calls on Jesus. Faith recognizes the authority of Jesus. And faith acts. That's what faith looks like, just from this story with this soldier. Next thing we see as we continue in the story is this: faith is an international thing. So look at verses 10 through 12. Here's what Jesus says. He says, "When he heard this, he marveled. And he said to those who followed him, 'Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith.'" I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. So I want you to just get, you got to get the picture of what's going on here. Jesus is Jewish, and Jesus, his audience is primarily Jewish. The Roman centurion who's coming to him is not Jewish. He's a Roman. And Jesus says, hey, guys, you see this Roman soldier? I have not seen this kind of faith in Israel. What we have is another nation, other than Israel, having faith that he doesn't even see in Israel, is what Jesus is saying. And then he says, I tell you the truth. Many are going to come from the east and the west, and they're going to recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. What he is doing is he is saying this kingdom faith that this Roman has, it's an international thing. It's for all nations. The kingdom of God is going to consist of many nations. That's verses 11 and 12. And Jesus' words to, if you were a Jew listening to Jesus say what he is saying, this is shocking. This shocks you. Because if you were a Jew, in your mind, you are God's chosen people. You're God's special people. The way it works in your mind is many of the Jews will recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while those outside the Jewish people will be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the way it works in your mind. And Jesus is turning it upside down. And he's saying, oh, it's the other way around. You got it wrong. Many from the east and the west are going to come and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, while the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. Jesus is shocking them right now. Now, he's not literally saying every Jew will not be in the kingdom because, I mean, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are Jewish people. And there they are, right there in the middle of the kingdom. But what he's doing is he's opening the door to the world, which to a Jewish perspective at this time was very narrow. That's Jesus is opening up their perspective. Guys, faith opens the door of the kingdom of God to anyone who has it. I don't mean everyone will be in heaven. Actually, quite the opposite. When Jesus talks about that, he says, in fact, we looked at this when we were in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. He says, the gate is narrow and the path is hard that leads to life, and few there are who find it. He says, there are few people who actually find the path to heaven. Very few. But he says, there are many people that find the path to destruction. It's an easy path, he says. But, you know what? Those few who find it, they come from every nation. There will be people in the kingdom of heaven from all nations, from the east and the west. And Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is not just for the Jews. It's for everybody by faith. It means the kingdom of God is bigger than Korea or Iran, or Turkey, or America, or China, or India, or Africa, or any of that. The kingdom of God is bigger than all of these places. All of these nations become people from all of these nations, I should say, become God's people, along with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Faith is international. This is what Jesus is saying. Let me ask you a question. Korea. Lately, South Korea, North Korea, they've been talking, right? Up at the upper levels. And I imagine that there are many people who are dreaming of a day when South Koreans and North Koreans can get together as brothers and be one. Will that happen? If I read Jesus right, yes. But it will not happen the way people think or hope here. What will happen is there are South Koreans who honor Christ and have faith, and there are North Koreans who have faith. And in the kingdom, they will recline at table together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Yes, that will happen. I don't know what's going to happen with the talks and I'm not predicting any of that, but I am saying that there is this dream that people have is something that actually will happen, but it won't happen in the way that they're thinking in the end. And this is true of Iranians, Persians, and Arabs. Will they ever get together? Well, in Christ, Persian believers and Arab believers will one day sit down together at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, despite all of the hostilities they have had over history. That is going to happen because they're one in Christ, regardless of whatever Turks and Armenians. Well, they won. Yes, there are Turks who have faith in Jesus Christ. There are Armenians who have faith in Jesus Christ. And there will be a day when Turks and Armenians will come together and recline at the same table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Chinese and Taiwanese. Yes, it's going to happen. In America, black and white. Yes, it's going to happen. Every nation has their, you know, the peoples that you've had historical problems with, right? The disagreements and whatnot. Every nation's got that. And the reality is that the answer, God's answer to those things is not what our answer is to those things. God's answer to all of the hostilities is Christ. That's his answer. In Christ, by faith, people will come together and recline in the kingdom of God with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at one table. And they will be brothers and sisters in Christ. That is part of the message of Christ. See, in Jesus Christ, we are one. In Jesus Christ. We think we're different because we come from different cultures and we speak different languages and we have a different history. But here's the deal, guys. I have more in common with Maggie than I do with my neighbors, my American neighbors. Because there's something I share with Maggie that I do not share with my American neighbors who don't know God. And Maggie is from China. Different culture, different language, and so on. And Maggie has more in common with Matthew than she has with her schoolmates that she went to school with in China. We have to see the world this way, because in the kingdom of God, this is how the world is. It means, Ollie, you and I, we are the same people. We have different cultures, different histories, different languages, but we're the same people in Christ. We are one people. And Ali, you and I share something in Christ that no Muslim will ever understand. You see, in Christ, we become part of a family, a body. It's the word Paul uses to describe it. And our people are from many different cultures. And we have to see it that way. When Jesus makes the kingdom of God available to everyone, and he does, we've got to see this. This means, guys, the good news of Jesus has to go to Iran. It has to go there. And it has to go to Korea. And the Communist Party in China, the communist people, in China, they need Jesus. They need to see it. They need to see him. It must go to India, to China, to Africa. It must. There is no other way around it. This is the king. We're talking about the kingdom of God. This is the answer for the problems that all of these people face. This is where peace comes from. This is where oneness comes from. And it has to happen. Muslims must hear the good news of Jesus. They must. We have to take him to Hindus and to secular America. So the kingdom of God is for the East and the West. But if they never hear, they won't come. They have to hear. Faith comes by hearing, Paul says in Romans 10. We're talking about faith, right? It comes by hearing. They need to hear. And in one sense, Jesus' words are a call to missions. Because most people around the world do not have faith in Jesus. But anyone in any culture can have faith in Jesus. They just have to hear about the cross, that Jesus has died to pay for their sins, that their sins are gone in Christ. They need to hear about the resurrection, that Jesus has exercised authority over death and hell itself in rising from the dead. They need to hear that Jesus is Lord, that he has the same authority that the centurion saw when he said, "Lord, Lord, Lord, I too am a man under authority, and I see what you've got." We need to see that. People need to hear that. That Jesus is going to judge them one day. And he's going to judge them according to their faith or lack of faith. That's how they will be judged. Okay, we're going to close with communion this morning. And communion is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a representation of that. And it is that body and that blood, that is the very thing that unites us in Christ. Chris was saying earlier, when he really appreciated this symbol, that it is everybody across, what did you say, geography and...
History.
history, time, cultures. It's the same thing for everybody. We are united in Jesus Christ by faith in the body and blood of Christ. And so we're going to participate in that this morning. And I've actually asked Matthew to lead our time in that this morning. And so he is going to do that now.